Nanayanam namaskritya naram cheva narottamam devyam sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 3, Chapter entitled The Bhumi Gita, text number 45 onwards. Pumsam kali kritan doshan Dravya deshatma sambhavan Sarvan harati chittasto Bhagavan purushottama Pumsam of men. Kali Kritan, created by the influence of Kali. Doshan, the faults. Dravya, objects. Desha, space. Atma, and personal nature. Sambhavan, based upon. Sarvan, all. Harati, steals away. Chittasta,
situated within the heart.
Bhagavan, the Almighty Lord. Purusha Uttamaha, the Supreme Person. Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. In the Kali Yuga, objects, places and even individual personalities are all polluted. The Almighty Personality of Godhead, however, can remove all such contamination from the life of one who fixes the Lord within his mind. Translation responsibly. In the Kali Yuga. Objects, places, and even individual personalities are all polluted. The Almighty Personality of Godhead, however, can remove all such contamination from the life of one who fixes the Lord within his mind. Text 46. If a person hears about, glorifies, meditates upon, worships, or simply offers great respect to the Supreme Lord, who is situated within the heart, the Lord will remove from his mind the contamination accumulated during many thousands of lifetimes. Text 47. Just as fire applied to gold removes any discoloration caused by traces of other metals, Lord Vishnu within the heart purifies the minds of the yogis. Purport. Although one may practice the mystic yoga system, his actual spiritual advancement is due to the mercy of the Supreme Lord within the heart. It is not directly the result of his austerity and meditation. If one becomes foolishly proud in the name of yoga, his spiritual position becomes ridiculous. Omagyana timarandasya kinanjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa tadamaya tadati swapadantikam vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhi evacha Pajitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So it's an interesting chapter because it describes all of the defects in the age of Kali. And practically everywhere that you look, everything is just simply defect. The word in Sanskrit which is given is dosha, which is in this particular verse. It says that Kali Yuga is full of faults and defects like that. Famous verse, which is here in the 12th canto, which we often chant, which glorifies the holy name. Jiva Goswami describes that one of the principal purposes of the Srimad Bhagavatam is to glorify the holy name. One of the principal purposes of the Srimad Bhagavatam is to glorify Krishna. But especially, it is also meant to glorify the holy name of Krishna. We see there are many verses in the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, from the very first chapter, which describe the glories of the holy name. And then we see at the very end of the Bhagavatam, there are very important verses which glorify the chanting of the holy name. And all through the Bhagavatam, periodically, the holy name is glorified. And in the very, very middle of the Bhagavatam, which is Canto 6, which begins with the pastime of Vajamil, then that pastime glorifies the holy name. So one of the principal points of the Bhagavatam is to glorify the chanting of the holy name. So in this final canto, we have a very famous verse, Kaliya Dosha Nite Raja Asti Hyeko Mahan Guna Kirtanat Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Vrijat. So, as it says in this verse, Kaleya, and in that famous verse, Kaleya Dosha Nite Rajan. Niti. Niti means? No. Niti. Niti. Ocean. Yeah, Niti. Karuna Niti. Just like Lord Chaitanya is said to be, Karuna Niti. Which means an ocean of mercy. Or Karuna Sindhu. What does Sindhu mean?
Ocean.
So an ocean of mercy. Like that. So Kali Yuga is said to be an ocean of Kaleya Dosha. Dosh means?
Imbalance.
Yeah, imbalance. Or defect. Or faults. Unlimited faults. This is Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga ki? Yeah. It is an ocean of faults. Unlimited faults. Just like there was one man in America a few years ago and he wanted to print a newspaper that only had good news in it. So he made the newspaper and it only had good news and no one brought the newspaper. So he went out of business in a few weeks. Because, for some reason, people are addicted to hearing about the faults. And you turn on the news, the radio, or the internet, or the television, or the newspapers, and it is just an ocean of faults. That's all it is. It's just faults, defects of Kali Yuga. This happened, and that happened, and this happened. And unlimited defects. So, because of so many defects, what takes place? The mind becomes disturbed. In the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, in the very first chapter, Shukadeva Goswami gives the description of Kali Yuga. And he says, people are short-lived, lazy, misguided, quarrelsome, and above all, always disturbed. Please turn off your mobile phones at this point in the lecture. Always disturbed. Perfect description of Kali Yuga. People are always disturbed. So, why are they disturbed? Because their minds are disturbed. Now, why are their minds disturbed? Because the place is full of faults. It is full of defects. So therefore, people are in a very disturbed state of mind. People are not peaceful in Kali Yuga. They're always agitated in Kali Yuga. So, because of that, people are becoming mentally unwell. The World Health Organization says that currently 50% of the world's population suffers from mental disease. So that means 50%, half of the world now has mental disease. Begins with depression, and then it goes down the list. The list gets more serious as you go down. Depression, anxiety, what are some of the other ones? The mild ones. Depression. That's going a bit further down the list. Okay, that's getting down quickly like that. Depression, anxiety, what's some of the panic attacks? These are just the mild ones. And then you go further and further. And people have got very, very disturbed minds and mental problems. And this is because of all the defects in Kali Yuga. So, Jiva Goswami says, actually, Kali Yuga is very favorable for practicing Krishna consciousness. It is very favorable. Why? Because the mind is so disturbed that you have to chant the holy name sincerely. You have to chant the holy name with dependence upon Krishna. And you get the result of chanting the holy name when you feel dependent upon Krishna. If you chant the holy name but there's not a sense of dependence, you do not get so much reciprocation from Krishna. Just like we see in that pastime of Draupadi. The pastime of Draupadi, she teaches us how to chant the holy name of Krishna. Now, Krishna was staying with the Pandavas one time in Indraprastha. And Draupadi, every day she would serve Krishna. And Krishna would take fruits, I think in the afternoon. Just like we have the fruit offering, you know, 3:40. Krishna takes fruits in the afternoon, likes to take some fruit. So Krishna, he likes to take some fruit in the afternoon. So Draupadi used to prepare the fruits for Krishna. She used to cut the fruits very nicely and then bring him a platter. Now she had so many maidservants in the palace that anyone could have done the service. But no, she wanted to directly serve Krishna. Even though she was the queen of Indraprastha and she was the most exalted woman in the entire capital, but she directly wanted to do the service of Krishna. So she used to cut and she used to bring the fruits to him every day like that. So one day, she had very nice fruits, but she decided, I won't cut them. What I'll do, I'll just leave them whole, wash them very nicely, leave them whole, and I'll leave a knife there for Krishna. I'll take it to him and then he can cut the fruits himself, according to what he likes, how much of each fruit he wants. So she brought it to Krishna, like that. So then, Krishna began to cut the fruits. But then, while Krishna was cutting, he sliced his thumb. He was cutting the fruits and then blood immediately began to come out. Now Krishna is Satchid Ananda Vigraha. There is no blood. There are no veins in his body. So this is just yoga maya. This is just pastime, Leela Shakti. But some blood began to come. So when Draupadi saw that Krishna was bleeding, she took her sari, which was gold embroidered. Her sari was actually real gold. These days, I don't know if it's real gold or not. Maybe it's just some colour, or maybe the colour is gold. But it was these saris that she wore were the most opulent, expensive saris on the earth. So she, as soon as she saw Krishna bleeding, she took her sari and she ripped a piece of her sari and she put it around his finger and she bound his finger up, put a bandage on his finger, out of love. So Krishna was overwhelmed with reciprocation. He was captivated or captured by Draupadi's devotion. So then later on, in the gambling match, when Draupadi was being stripped naked in front of the assembly of Kauravas, and no one was objecting, even though Bhishma was there and Drona was there and all of the personalities, the senior personalities, who should have objected and intervened and chastised Duryodhana and Dushasana. Bhishma had become polluted by the eating the grains in the which were served to him by Duryodhana. That is why Prabhupada emphasizes that one should not eat grains which are cooked by non-devotees. Because if you eat grains which are cooked by non-devotees, your consciousness becomes contaminated. So Bhishma, even though he was a Mahajana, he was a great soul, but his consciousness became contaminated. And therefore he did not object, he just lowered his head and he allowed the activity to go on. So Draupadi, she could not defend herself against Dushasana, who was pulling the sari like that. And she was fighting back, she was holding on, because she was a Kshatriya woman, so she's very feisty, very powerful woman. So she was holding, but she could not match him. So then when he began to pull, and then finally she was calling out to everyone, "Help me, help me." And she's looking at her husband, "Save me, help me." And they could not do anything. Bhima was about to stand up and everyone was holding him saying, "No, we cannot intervene," like that. So then finally she began to call out to Krishna. So she called out, "Krishna, hey Krishna, hey Govinda." She was calling out to him repeatedly, but it was only when she finally let go of the sari and she put her hands in the air and said, "Hey Krishna, hey Govinda," and she fully surrendered to Krishna, then Krishna appeared. Suddenly she saw Krishna standing up on the balcony. Right? And then as the sari began to become pulled, just unlimited sari began to come. And Dushasana was pulling. But it just continued to come and come and come. And Krishna was just smiling. Now, why was it that Krishna reciprocated at that point? Because her chanting had the right mood at that point. In other words, it was fully dependent only upon Krishna. If you're chanting, but you're feeling dependent upon other things, or if you still have shelter somewhere within this material world, Krishna cannot fully reciprocate with you. Because he says, "Ye yata mam prapajante, tams tataiva bhajamyaham." As you surrender to me, I will reciprocate with you accordingly. So when we fully surrender to Krishna, or we are fully dependent upon Krishna, then Krishna fully reciprocates or manifests to the devotee. So therefore Jiva Goswami says Kali Yuga is very good. Actually, it's the best of the ages to practice spiritual life. Why is it the best age? Because Kali Yuga will teach you to chant like this. Because if you are a sincere devotee and you're chanting and you're trying to improve your chanting, then Krishna will take everything away from you to make your chanting intense and fully dependent upon him. It says in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam that when Krishna is especially merciful upon a devotee, he takes everything away. Now that's what takes place. The longer you stay a devotee, that's what takes place. Krishna tests you more and more and more. When we first enter the temple and we first join the movement, everything is just ecstatic and blissful. And that is Krishna's trick. Because Krishna is attracting us back to the spiritual world. But actually, long term, devotional service becomes very intense. And the tests become very intense. All you have to do is stick around. You just stay around. Most of the devotees here are still quite young devotees. But the longer you stay a devotee, the more intense the tests become. And why do you think there's not so many senior devotees around in the community? Active senior devotees in the community. Why do you think that is? It's very difficult to stay a devotee for a long period of time. It means fully engaged as a devotee for a long period of time. You have to constantly challenge yourself. If you want to stay Krishna conscious for a long period of time, constantly you have to challenge yourself. It means you always have to be going forward. You have to be getting more and more taste. I know for myself that, you know, you get to periods after 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, and then you get to certain periods. And then Krishna, he challenges you. And he says, okay, how are you going to go forward now? Because you've learned so much, you know so much, you've done so much, you get to a certain plateau. And then Krishna says, okay, what are you going to do now to keep yourself enthused in devotional service? Because the material energy is very powerful. There are so many options. And occasionally, the devotee feels some complacency setting in. And then the devotee thinks, maybe I can go back to Maya. I can have a little bit of Maya and a little bit of Krishna consciousness. I can relax a little bit now. And I can become more, you know, materially involved. Still do my bhakti. I'll still chant my rounds, but not so intensely. So Krishna tests you. He says, do you want to go further now? Then you have to find something which is going to keep you enthused to go ahead progressively, or to advance more rapidly or quickly. Because our process is very rapid and is very quick. You can make very rapid spiritual advancement. So, someone get a chair for Mahatma Prabhu? Just one of you. So Krishna tests you to see if you are willing to challenge yourself to go forward continuously. Because it becomes more difficult, actually, in one sense, the longer you stay a devotee. Because then you have to find more taste. Because you do the same activities every day. You come to the kirtan. It's the same kirtan that you come to 20 years. Same Bhagavatam class you come to for 20 years. Same prasadam that we take. Basically the process is the same. And then some devotees, they lose interest. And I think, well, it's the same thing. You know, it's nice. I don't have to come all the time. I can just come around to the temple on Janmashtami. I don't have to come all the time. Because it's the same thing anyway. It's the same thing that I've always experienced. So in order to get the same taste, every day when you come to the kirtan, every day when you hear the Bhagavatam class, every day when you do your devotional service, every day when you chant your rounds, to get that taste, you have to constantly challenge yourself as a devotee. You have to be constantly going deeper and deeper and deeper as a devotee. Mahaprabhu says that one of the 26 qualities of the devotee is Gambhira. What does Gambhira mean? Yeah, grave. Grave or deep. That a devotee is deep. In other words, if you want to stay a devotee, if you want to stay enthused for years to come, then you have to become very deep in Krishna consciousness. And then you get a taste. And then constantly you'll become enthused to reapply yourself every day. And then your rounds don't become monotonous. You don't become bored from chanting your rounds. You actually enjoy chanting. You get more taste as time goes by in chanting. You get more taste in coming to the kirtan. You feel lively in the kirtan every day that you come. You always listen to the Bhagavatam attentively. You don't fall asleep at the back leaning on the pillow. Sometimes devotees are clocking out. You don't do that. If you want to sleep, go to bed. We have beds available. Go and take rest. But if you come to class, stay awake. Now, that means you have to be attentive. How do you remain attentive? You have to have a taste for Krishna consciousness. Right? I've never gone to a class in my whole time I've been a devotee where I did not get something from the class. I never went to a class where I didn't get anything. Maybe I only got a little bit from the class, but something was there. But why? Because you have to listen, Prabhupada said, with rapt attention. You have to have a taste for hearing. So you must be listening. What is it that Krishna is trying to tell me? Krishna is trying to tell me something in this class. So then you challenge yourself continuously to get a taste in devotional service. And your devotional service needs to become deeper and deeper and deeper. Now, where is it that we will find the depth that we're looking for in our Krishna consciousness? Actually, it's in Prabhupada's books. That's why Prabhupada puts so much emphasis on his books. You study the Bhagavad Gita. Right? And then after Bhagavad Gita, you begin to study the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, in my own life, I'm facilitating a Srimad Bhagavatam course. So I'm always challenging myself to find taste in devotional service. Because now we've been studying the Srimad Bhagavatam in our class for 6 years, and we're only up to Canto 5. Right? So that means it'll probably be another 4 years till we get to the 10th canto. So that's the challenge, which always keeps us enthused in devotional service. I want to get to the 10th canto. I want to understand Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan deeply. But in order to do that, I have to go very progressively through the Bhagavatam. I have to make it a lifetime study. So we continuously challenge ourselves to get this taste in devotional service. Otherwise, you will leave. Or otherwise, you will become disenthused in your devotional service. And you'll find it difficult, and you'll find it dry. Some devotees find it very difficult to chant with taste. Right? And you see many devotees, they chant, but there's not really a taste there. Now, they're chanting, but they're not really relishing. It's like a chura, or it's like a duty that they have to perform. I have to finish my rounds. But we should not be wanting to finish our rounds. We should want to continue chanting. Srila Prabhupada says, why 16 rounds? Why not 16,000? Rupa Goswami says, when I chant, one tongue and two ears is not enough. I need millions of tongues and millions of ears to relish all of the nectar which is in the two syllables, Krishna. That is the taste. So that's what we're looking for in devotional service. So, the age of Kali is very intense. So it's very good for chanting and practicing bhakti yoga. Because what happens is the longer you practice devotional service, and if you're sincere and you're trying to progress, the more Krishna makes the material world look unattractive to you. It becomes more and more unpalatable. The faults become more and more obvious and more revealed. And your previous karma comes looking for you. Even though you're chanting and you're practicing devotional service, I know in my own life, I try to sincerely practice devotional service, I try to sincerely chant the holy name, and I go and live in the forest. I went to the forest nearly 4 years ago to get away from the material world. A lot of the time I don't even know what's going on the other side of the forest. I'm living in the forest. I live in a mud brick ashram, earth, everything is natural. I'm away from civilization. A lot of the time I don't know what's going on. I don't even know what's going on outside, on the other side of the forest. I don't know what goes on in the material world. But somehow or other, even though you go away from the material energy, but the material energy still finds you. Your previous karma still finds you. So many klesha or suffering, it still finds you. As it says, there are three types of klesh. What are the three types of suffering? Adhyatmika, Adibhautika, Adidaivika. Adidaivika means? That which comes from above us, or below us, or beside us. It is called the elements. Just like today, we are being given Adidaivika klesh. And we're giving misery from? The weather. Not a very pleasant day. I woke up this morning, looked outside, and it was raining. That's not pleasant. You can't do anything today, you can't go outside, especially if you're on the farm. It's a little bit different in the city, but when you're on the farm, you can't really do anything like that. I mean, there's always something to do, but outside. So, it's klesh. But you see, in Kali Yuga, the Daivik klesh is becoming more and more intense. You can't trust anything anymore. That's what Krishna is trying to teach us. You cannot have faith in this material world. Just like all the devotees in Christchurch, what realizations have they got? You can't have faith in the ground anymore. You can't even have faith on the place where you stand and walk every day. Because at any time it might start vibrating and cracking. At any time. Right? And all the devotees in Japan, what realizations have they got? You can't have faith in the horizon anymore. Because you might look out at the horizon one day and suddenly there's 14 meters of water coming towards you. So how do you feel safe? And then from above, whenever it wants to rain, just like here in Australia we had the floods, you can't feel safe anymore. That's what Kali Yuga is for. It is an ocean of faults. It is meant to belittle your trust in the material energy. So the longer you stay a devotee, and the more sincere you become as a devotee, the more Krishna destroys your faith in the material world. Why? So that you can surrender to Him. So that you can chant with dependence. Because we're having trouble by ourselves chanting dependently. We have trouble calling out to Krishna with a full heart. How often do you chant like Draupadi chants? Most of the time when you chant your rounds, it's pathetic. A lot of the time when you chant, there's no sincerity there. It's like a duty. Like that. But when we need to learn to chant with dependence upon Krishna. So Krishna arranges in Kali Yuga that everything is so tumultuous that you will become dependent upon Him. Adi Devik, Adi Baltic. That's what I find in my life. In my life, I don't feel too bad. I feel like I'm a devotee by Krishna's mercy, and I'm practicing devotional service by Krishna's mercy, and my life is quite happy by Krishna's mercy. But then there's something in my previous karma that people around me give me trouble. That is called Adi Baltic, other living entities. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I think my life's fine, and then someone rings me up and says, hey, what about this? Or hey, what about that? Then it's just Adi Baltic. Then suddenly your mind becomes disturbed by other living entities. So this klesh, you cannot avoid it in Kali Yuga. Adi Devik, Adi Baltic, and Adi Atmik. Atmik means the klesh which comes from your own body and mind. Okay, no one around you is giving you problems. The demigods are not giving you problems. But then your previous karma arranges that your body gives you problems. Just like one day you go to the doctors, and the doctor says, I need you to come back and see me tomorrow. And you go back and see him tomorrow, and he says, there's a very unnatural thing taking place in your body. And suddenly, that body which gave you so much pleasure and which gave you so much security is now being eaten away by some disease. And it's very common now in Kali Yuga. These things are taking place. We're seeing more and more these diseases. So Adi Atmik means your own body and your own mind. Especially in Kali Yuga, the mind gives us so many problems. And because the mind is giving us problems, then people become very disturbed. So the entire situation in Kali Yuga, it is Kali Dosha Nite. It is an ocean of faults. It is an ocean of defects. But then it is said, actually, it is very good, because Asti Eko Mahan Guna. Mahaguna. Mahaguna means? Maha means great. Guna means quality. There's one great thing in Kali Yuga. Kirtanad Eva Krishnasya. By Krishna Kirtan, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Mukta Sangha. Mukta means you can become liberated from all the sufferings in Kali Yuga. Just like Prabhupada says, where is the safest place in the material world? Prabhupada says, in Kirtan Ras. What is Kirtan Ras? It's when you're tasting the nectar of chanting the holy name. It means when you're in the Kirtan, but you're actually in the Kirtan. Sometimes you see devotees in the Kirtan, but they're not actually in the Kirtan. The mind is somewhere else. Kirtan is going on, but they're just not really absorbed in the rasa, or the pleasure of chanting the holy name. But if you have a taste for chanting, if you're in kirtan ras, then at that point, that is the safest place in the material world. Mukta sangha, and it liberates you from all of the suffering in the material world. And then param vrajet. Param vrajet means the holy name can deliver you to the supreme abode. Param, the param gati. It means the supreme place. The holy name can take you to the highest place, to Goloka Vrindavan. So even though Kali Yuga is a notion of faults, there is one very good quality, and that is if we engage ourselves in sincerely chanting the holy name, we can overcome all the defects of this age. Just like in this verse, it says that objects are polluted, places are polluted, and even individual personalities are polluted. So everything in Kali Yuga is basically polluted. But it's very hard to find a place which is unpolluted. Very hard to find a place which is pure, where we can chant the holy name peacefully. Now in Kali Yuga, even the holy dharmas are becoming polluted. Even now you go to Vrindavan, it's becoming very polluted, materially speaking. So it makes it more difficult for devotees to just chant and absorb themselves in the holy name. So one has to find places which are pure. Where is a pure place?
Where Krishna is.
Where Krishna is. Where is Krishna?
Yeah.
Where is a pure place?
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah, everywhere is very pure. No, where is a pure place? If you want to find a pure place. This is a pure place. Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir is a pure place in Kali Yuga. Right? When I come here, quite often I come here Monday evening, say Monday and Tuesday evening to go to the course, then practically, from Monday night practically until Wednesday morning when I leave, sometimes I don't leave the temple. I just stay within the temple grounds the whole time. Because it is a pure place, because I know when I go outside, right, there's Kali Yuga. We only go outside for one reason, right, to preach Krishna consciousness, to spread Krishna consciousness. You go out to do Harinam or book distribution or distribute prasadam. Practically, that's the reason we go out. Otherwise, we stay in the pure place. We stay in Krishna's abode, in the holy dharma, like that. Otherwise, very difficult to find pure places. Everything else is contaminated in Kali Yuga. Right. So we'll stop here. I want to see if there's any questions or comments on what we have discussed.
Yeah, it's both.
Just like Prabhupada gives the example in the Bhagavad Gita in his purports of this sparrow who is trying to empty the ocean. So that is us, we are trying to go back to Godhead. But ultimately it is Krishna's reciprocation of mercy which is necessary. So you attract Krishna when you show you're sincere in your devotional service. So if you want, just like if you go to Krishna and you say, take away all of my material attachments, right? If you actually go and say that to Krishna, then Krishna will do that. He'll reciprocate on that level. And he'll begin to take away all those material attachments. Just like Bhakti Tirtha Swami, His Holiness, he went to Krishna and he prayed like that. He said, take everything away. Right? And then within a few months, then he was diagnosed with cancer. Not that. So if you actually go to Krishna with that sincerity, Krishna, just take everything away from me now. Take away all of my material desires, all of my material anattas. Just let me surrender to you fully. Then Krishna will reciprocate on that. But most of us are not that sincere. So according to how sincere you are, then Krishna reciprocates that much. And then in due course of time, if you are, you know, you're sincere and you're trying to be a devotee, but you can't come to that level of surrender, then Krishna will begin to assist you. And then he'll close everything down for you in the material world. Everything which you had faith in, he will show you that there is no shelter there. So you just have to stay sincere, stay on the path, and then Krishna will take care of the devotee. Does that answer what you have? Any other question or comment? Speak up, sorry.
When Krishna is taking material attachments and things away, how can we see like that he's also there supporting us at the same time? And how can we see this as the good thing, like knowing that it's his care? Like, does he also like give us nectar at the same time?
I hope he does. Otherwise, it's not going to be very much fun. What do you think is the answer?
Well, that's what I hope, but I don't know what the answer is.
Well, do you know some really nice people in this world?
Okay.
You do know? And what do you think they would do?
What do I think they would do?
Yeah, if they were, just say someone's like a senior person who you take shelter of, and sometimes a senior person has to point out things to you. Okay. But are they also kind?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Krishna's a person.
So like when he takes away...
Yeah, he's very kind. Krishna's full of kindness.
He'll help us get back.
Yeah. Krishna's the original person. He's the perfect person. He's the most pure person. He's the most loving person. So if he's doing anything to break our attachments, he's only doing that out of affection. And he's always there to show us that actually I care about you and I reciprocate with you. Just like sometimes we're going through very difficult tests, but we feel blissful. You see, devotees sometimes are going through the most difficult tests you could possibly go through, but they're feeling blissful. Just like there was that Mataji, Deviki Mataji, remember she came a few years ago? Do you remember? Oh, you weren't here. Maybe she came a little bit before, but some of you might. So she had cancer. So she came to Melbourne to do chemotherapy because she had cancer, you know, she could have died like that. But you see, the whole time she was blissful, going through the most difficult test, but she was blissful. And she was saying, well, you know, maybe I'll live, maybe I'll die. That's up to Krishna. I would like to live because there's more service I want to do in this world for Krishna. So if you have faith in Krishna and you have dependence on him, you'll always feel a taste when you chant his holy name. You'll always feel his presence. You'll never feel alone. You'll always feel he's looking after you. That's how a devotee feels. Krishna is always looking after us. Okay, it's difficult, but Krishna's there. So, does that answer your question? Okay. Any other question or comment?
I want to comment on the Mataji's Krishna Guru Shakti. Prabhupada gives two more examples. One is somebody has fallen in the well, and even if you put a rope to take him out, unless he holds the rope, you can't take him out. So endeavor and Krishna mercy. And another example Prabhupada gives is Damodar Leela, where Mother Yashoda wants to tie Krishna, and ultimately she is desperate, and then Krishna gives mercy and then she can tie. Otherwise the rope was always 2 fingers short.
Two more examples. Any other question? Comment?
How do we get the more of the sincerity and dependence? Unless it's like this. Unless some serious incident or some serious situation comes, until that time, whatever champion you have, you are not that sincere.
Try to get it yourself. Try to become sincere and try to give up your material attachments. And if you're trying to do it, then Krishna will help you. Just like one of the devotees gave the example, and just like he was chanting, and he saw there was little bug, and it was trying to like get up here, like, but every time it tried to get up, it would fall back down. And it would try to get back up, it would fall back down. So it was trying to like get up, but it couldn't make it. So the devotee was chanting. So then after seeing that bug 10 times, try to get up, try to, and the devotee looked at the bug and said, okay. So if Krishna sees that you are trying sincerely, then he will, after some time, okay, you're trying, but you're not advanced enough or pure enough to get to the level of consciousness that you want to get to. Then after some time, then Krishna will say, okay, come. With that. So try as much as you can, and if you can't get there, then Krishna will make the arrangement. But there has to be a desire in our heart. There has to be something in our heart that says, Krishna, I just want to fully surrender to you. Krishna, I don't want to have any material desires or attachments in my heart. I'm trying very hard to give them up, but I can't give them all up myself. So you please help me. And you keep trying, keep trying, keep trying. Then one day Krishna says, anyway, take it all away. Especially in his feature as Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya will take all away the defects. Is that okay? Okay. You had a point?
In your class you are saying that we have to increase our dependency on Krishna, and we have too many other things in our life, maybe our bank balance or family love towards us, and it's very difficult to surrender because we feel very cushioned in this material world unless we get a key and then it comes to you. Now while the dependency is the mood which helps us progress in the initial stages, at what point in time does the dependency stop on Krishna, in the sense of a mood? Because when we depend on Krishna, still we are wanting something. Whereas we see some of the acharyas, they want to do something for Krishna out of love. So when does dependency transform into love? When you don't feel dependent on him, whereas you feel that you have to serve him. So we are not asking him really that, I am dependent on you, my dear Lord, because this material bliss is for miserable. I know that you are the one who can save him. To a point where, you know, I don't have that expectation. What point does the transition happen?
It happens when you decide to do it. Like that. There's no time that it happens. It's not like, you know, now I've been devoted for 20 years, so now everything changes suddenly. Prabhupada said you can become Krishna conscious in one moment. Now when that moment will be, that is up to you. That's when you decide to surrender to Krishna fully. So there's no time when it happens according to a schedule. It's according to each individual soul's eternal desire or relationship with Krishna when that manifests. When we decide at some point in eternity to turn back to Krishna and fully give ourselves to Krishna once again, that's when it happens. Does that answer your
question? Like, and then sometimes we come across, I was reading this book, Sage Sangraha, and there we find the Babaji's, and even many elevated Matajis, they have had, even when I was reading his first time of, who is Matajis, who gave up her life, saved the devotees?
Lajini
Mataji. I'm reading her book now, Legacy of Love. So, Lajini Mataji never, she also had immense dependency on the Lord. She never went out of her way to, you know, do something out of her capability. She was always depending even to serve the Lord. But at some point in time, the higher mood which she had was that, you know, that the Lord needs to be taken care of by me, rather than I am dependent on the Lord for something. So that was the mood she had. Even when she prayed for one sheep, there was only once that she did a material prayer. It was not a material prayer. Because she didn't have money and she wanted Lord Jagannath to have a particular set of dresses, and then she prayed and then the money came from somewhere. But her mood was always not depending on the Lord for something, but how can I give you something?
So that's cultivation, that's what sadhana means. Sadhana leads to sadhya. Sadhya means bhava, perfection. And what you're talking about is advanced devotional service. So that's what we're practicing to become. So that's why we have to practice swajaya, or regular self-analysis. That's why we study the Shastra, to analyze ourselves. That's why we read these books. You read the books and then you meditate. Okay, this Mataji is like this. This is what devotional, this is what pure bhakti is. I also need to become like that. So then you look at yourself and analyze and try harder See, Krishna has to see that you're always trying to improve. And if Krishna sees you're always trying to improve, then Krishna, he reciprocates. When he sees that we're not trying to improve, we're not trying to better ourselves continuously, then he becomes disappointed in that. Does that give some clarification? Anything else?
This is about medium beings, but I'll say one. Why does Krishna know, when is Krishna the doer and when is Krishna not the doer?
You have to be more specific.
Well, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I am the doer. Doesn't he say that in all activities?
Yeah, no, but it means that the soul has independence. Like, you can't say, well, you know, I'm going to go out and I'm going to perform some illicit activity, and then, oh no, Krishna made me do that. Like that, then you can't say that, because the jiva has independence, although it's minute, and Krishna has ultimate independence. So man proposes, God disposes. Like that. He ordained it. He allows you to do it. He gives you legs that can move you. Like that. Right, and then if for some reason your previous karma says okay, your legs will not work anymore, then Krishna says okay, the legs don't work anymore. So then you have the desire, but you cannot fulfill the desire. So you're the doer also. The word for doer is kata in the Bhagavad Gita. Now the living entity is called kata, and Krishna is also called kata. Right, so you're a doer, and he's also a doer. Well, I can do things. I can go, you know, I can do that. I can do lots of things like that. I can't do everything. Krishna can, but I can't. Like that.
So ultimately, Krishna is, are you saying he's like a thread in the garland? He makes it all happen if he wants it. If
no,
you want to do it.
You're desiring. You're desiring to make a garland.
Yeah, but he makes it possible.
Yeah, he makes it possible. He gave you the body you're in now, so you can do it. Like that. If you have the desire to serve him, then he facilitates that desire. Now, if you want a body where you can make garlands, where you don't get a sore back, and you don't get mental, and you don't get hungry, and you don't have to blow your nose, right, then Krishna will give you that body. But do you want that body? Right? When you want it, he'll give it to you. Okay. There's no problems for him. You want a spiritual body? Here, have one. Come and serve me. Okay. But if you rather stay here and try to enjoy separately from him, then he says, okay, no problem. That's easy for him as well. He created the whole material Mahatattva, millions of universes, because we didn't want to be with him. For him, that's no problem. But if you want to come back, that's no problem either. Sooner or later, we have to work out the problem isn't with Krishna. Sooner or later, we have to work out the problems with us. Just like I was listening to one conversation, one of the nuns in the church, I can't remember, one of the Christian nuns, and they wear the nuns wear that white kind of dress, and they wear like the habit, the white kind of thing. So she was explaining that's actually a wedding dress. You know, when a bride gets married in Christianity, they wear white and they put like a thing over their head. So that's why the nuns dress like that. I wasn't aware of that. That's why they dress. So who do they think they're married to? Right? Jesus. Right? They think they're Jesus' wives. That's why they take the vow of celibacy. They don't get married. They're nuns because they think I'm married to Jesus. So one of them said, she was very humorous, she says, it's a very good relationship to be in. Because normally if there's some problem between the husband and wife, they start blaming each other. Right? The wife says, oh, you know, it's because of you. And the husband says, well, it's because of you, like that. She said, it's a very good marriage to be in, because you know if there's any problems, you know who's got the problem. Right? It's not Jesus, because Jesus is Jesus. So he hasn't got a problem. So it's obviously us. So sooner or later we have to work out that if there's problems in our life, it's us, it's not Krishna. Krishna hasn't got any problems. Krishna's actually a very easy person to exist with and to get along with. He's a very simple person, actually. He's not a complicated, trippy person. Like that. So when we become simplistic, then we can go back to him. Like that. So, does that answer you? Okay. Any other question or comment? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.